In my lifetime, I've had the privilege to see an awful lot of new technology, things that, of course, decades ago nobody dreamed about. In my lifetime, the science of DNA, the genetic material in each of us, that science has exploded with new information. Today we can tell where a person's ancestors initiated. You guys know that I'm a widower and I have a family, and so my kids wanted me to join one of these DNA research programs and give my DNA over and get back the studies. The results of my DNA study are eye-opening, earth-shattering for me. I never knew I was that high a percentage of Neanderthal. And one of the things that DNA tells us is that everybody comes from someplace else. And the racial mixes are surprising. Science tells us that there are very few races that exist today in the same geography that where that race originally was present on planet Earth. Everyone is an immigrant or a son of an immigrant. Well, there are very few pure races anywhere on planet Earth. Almost all of us have ancestors from several ethnic sources. It's like a giant soup from different sources and different geographies. Abram. His name was Abram, not Abraham yet. God has not yet changed his name. He was living in the lower Mesopotamia, which is where Baghdad, Iraq is today. It was in that general area. And Abram began being a friend of God by becoming an immigrant. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from the land of your kinfolk and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." And Abram went as the Lord directed him. That was a world-changing event. You might not have been able to see it at the time, but in our rearview mirror, that was huge. It changed the world. Why did Abram leave his family and his home? He and his wife were already well advanced in age, past what we think of as retirement age. And they were relatively wealthy by the world's standards. God had promised Abram, "I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing." The indications are that happened over 4,000 years ago. And today we know from both scripture and science that this great nation of Abraham, occurred with many mixed marriages over the centuries. They're right there in the Bible. You can see the mixed marriages as they were occurring. However, our faith can be traced all the way back to Abraham for his faith. Abraham and Ur of Chaldea, which is his home base in today's Iraq. Our God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We use that lineage to identify God, because he's the same God of everybody in that line, all the way down to us. He's that same God. Our God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel. That's an identity. That's a way of naming. This line of the human race was not a single ethnic race, but it was a single faith. That's what got passed down, that faith of Abraham. It began because he was faithful and obedient to God. That is what made Abraham, Abraham. Our present lives are not the result of genetics. Don't fall for that trap. It's wrong. Our present lives follow that line of the children of Abraham because of faith and obedience in our that happened with our ancestors. We stand on their shoulders. And every one of us is more the result of our faith and our faith traditions than we are of any single ethnic group. There isn't a single ethnic group. It doesn't exist. Our history is the history of the faith of Abraham. Salvation history is not the history of an ethnic group, but of the faith of Abraham, handed down through Moses, Elijah, Mary, and Joseph, Jesus, the apostles, the martyrs, and the saints, and our universal Catholic Church that has never wandered from the faith of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. This is the human trail that says more about us than our bloodline does. And our bloodlines have changed many times. Just go get your DNA tested. You'll see how that's happened. Our faith has remained unchanged. That's our singular identity in the bosom of Abraham. God's promise to Abram was fulfilled, and he has made of us a great nation in the Church of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, children of Abraham. But we continue to be pilgrims and immigrants in this world. You can't avoid being an immigrant or a son of an immigrant. And as immigrants, within faith of Abraham, we're pilgrims. And look what we've done over the past 4,000 years. We have brought that faith of Abraham down to every single generation. We're missionaries. All you have to do is look at world history. We're formed by the Word of God. That's who we are. Timothy, St. Timothy, was a follower of St. Paul, and he followed him all over the Middle East. Timothy was not a Jew. He was a Greek, and he was an assistant to Paul, and then later Paul named him as bishop at a very young age of city and area around Ephesus in western Turkey. And so he's writing this letter back, his second letter that we read today, and he's instructing this young bishop, and he's saying, he, God, saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to his own design and the grace bestowed on us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now made manifest through the appearance of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel. Paul said, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. Three of our gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all tell the story of Jesus' transfiguration on Mount Tabor in Galilee, up in northern Israel. In all three accounts, James took Peter and James and John, and he gave them a glimpse of heaven when they saw Jesus walking and talking with Moses and Elijah. They were being being formed to become apostles. Jesus was being told by Moses and Elijah how he would die. In every account, every single one of the accounts of the three gospel accounts of the Transfiguration, we hear God's words that were spoken in that moment of transfiguration. Since there's three accounts and they all use the same story and same quotes, it must have really happened. For God said to them, clearly addressing the apostles, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." We're in the early part of the season of Lent, and there are many things that may be blocking our ears from listening to God. Those are the things we have to work on in Lent. We have many, many distractions and temptations to keep us from bearing our share of hardship of the gospel and going forth and proclaiming the kingdom of God. We all have distractions. And Lent is when we're going to identify them and call them out and try and do something about them. I have a distraction. I'll confess that I'm working hard to try and overcome it. It's playing solitaire on the computer at all hours. And it's not easy to get rid of. It's getting in the way of my prayer. So guess what I gave up for Lent? I have to establish personal control over that temptation. Why? Because I want to listen to the word of God. I need to get things out of the way. I need to you know, my driveway, my front door are blocked, so I can't get in or out if I leave those blockages in my life. We are part of the race of the children of Abraham. We're called to a holy way of life. And God the Father tells us to listen to his Son, Jesus Christ. This is our lot in life. Listen to the word of God. For this we were created and baptized and initiated into his church. The kingdom of God is at hand. This is where we're going. This is our nationality. This is our ethnic group. Members of the kingdom of God, children of Abraham, sons of God. That says a whole lot more about us than any DNA that you may possess. This season of Lent is to help us to remember where we came from and where we're going. Please make time this Lent to listen to God's Son, to be quiet and listen. Bear your share of the gospel. You're going to have to. It's part of the work. Don't ignore Lent. Remember who you are, why you are here on this path. Don't waste Lent.